Listeners, on today's show, I have the perfect example of representation of STEAM. We have got Mike Schlaff from the Maplewood Workshop on the show, and he's going to tell us all about how woodworking can come into your classroom.
Welcome to the iHeart STEAM Teacher Podcast.
Science!
Where teachers like you come for the best classroom vibes.
School will be fun!
Discover fun methods that engage with students to collaborate and communicate beyond their comfort zone with project-based learning.
It's all about the students.
STEAM with style, creativity, and critical thinking in the classroom, while also turning up in the teacher's lounge with your host, Bonnie Kirkley.
I've got an important meeting in the teacher's lounge.
Now, full steam ahead.
You know, Mike, I did not even check. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Schlaff. Yep. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, teachers have a habit of, we really want to pronounce the name correctly on the very first try, but we don't always get it. Sometimes we do. So point for me. Today, listeners, I'm so excited that you're here because you're going to find out about something I didn't know about. We've got Mike Schlaff from the Maplewood Shop. And this is a really extraordinary program with lots of faucets. And, you know, I'm just super excited to hear more about it and get to know Mike and what took him on this journey. So without further ado, tell us about yourself, Mike, and, you know, anything you want to share, even beyond, you know, your professional life, you know, if you want to share anything outside of that, family life, what's life like for Mike? Tell us.
Thank you, Bonnie. And hello, everyone. So happy to be here. So I'll start. When I was in second grade, I think I spent half of the year in the hallway. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I was just not a good, I was that kid who could not sit still and was curious and enthusiastic. But it was not a good fit for the mid-1970s. So later in life, maybe 40 years later, I finally got the diagnosis of ADD. And it was liberating because I realized there was nothing wrong with me. It was just how I was wired. And the blessing of that wiring are many. So growing up, I liked to break things. I liked to fix things. And I also loved learning. I loved language. And by the time I graduated high school, went to college, some of my first jobs, I didn't have an inside job until I was 25. And then once I started working inside at a desk, the same issues came up. How do you sit still? How do you focus? How do you stay on task? And when I would come home, I would tinker. I would do woodworking projects. And that continued for many years. And fast forward to 2015, and by now I've got a nice career going with digital marketing and product management and even corporate strategy. I earned an MBA as well. And a friend said, "Hey, you like woodworking? I'm going to run a maker fair in our community. Would you like to lead a table doing woodworking with kids?" I said, "Sure. I like teaching. I like mentoring." Even though I had never had any formal training as a teacher. And so I'm working at this table, and we had a little project that was making a little step stool, and kids were lined up for 45 minutes waiting to do this project. And I was so happy, not because they were waiting, but because I was finally in the right place. I was working with my hands. I was helping youth work with their hands, and wood was a great medium. So between 2015 and 2016, I thought about nothing else, but how could I turn this passion into a business? And in 2016, I founded Maplewood Shop at that same Maker Faire called Maker Madness in Maplewood, New Jersey, hence the name. And
nice.
Right? Why not? And we started with our mission was and is to help all children develop life skills through woodworking. We find that wood as an organic material is irregular. It doesn't obey what you want to do. And it, as a result, it teaches a lot of powerful life lessons, like how to be resilient, how to have a growth mindset, how to have a design thinking mindset. Once you build it, how could you make it better? How to work collaboratively, all the 21st century learning skills, all the STEAM engineering skills that as teachers, we're all trying to help our students develop. And the wood is just a tremendous vehicle for that. So we sometimes say we're a social emotional learning program wrapped inside of a CTE or STEAM program. And we like that our safety poster, the first half of it, has rules like something will go wrong, how you deal with it is what matters, or we are a community, help others and ask for help. And so now, 6 years into this journey, we figured out. So when I started in 2016, I was teaching local classes, trying everything, tinkering incessantly with lesson plans, with what tools should we use? How do I make it safe? How do we make it portable? And along the way, realized that if I could train teachers to teach woodworking, we could help thousands and thousands of youth discover that intelligence in their hands, discover those life skills through woodworking. And so sheer coincidence, it always pays to show up. Went to a barbecue and met a teacher in New York City who said, man, I would love to do in my classroom what you're doing out here. And that's when it all clicked. That's when I realized the power of training teachers. We figured out a portable workbench that can be laid across a school table, even across two desks, and then developing a series of projects that can scaffold the skills from very basic up to advanced, all the way to furniture making. And a key point here, Bonnie, is that we only use hand tools, no power tools whatsoever. And as a result, it's proven to be very, very safe. Because I think your listeners might be thinking, well, is that safe? What about the dust? What about all these things? And listeners, you're imagining power tools. You're imagining a table saw. You're imagining a chop saw and a drill press. And to date, we haven't used any of those. We focused on the very tactile manual tools because it's safe and because it removes the need for a certification by the teacher. So what we really specialize in is taking STEAM teachers, also English teachers, math teachers, anyone, special education teachers, and giving them the confidence to teach woodworking. So at this point, now we work with about 65 schools nationwide and about 50 camps. So about 115 organizations in total and growing. And we're thrilled because we see youth all the way down to first grade being able to explore their world in a very tactile way, being able to learn with their hands, being able to learn visually, being able to learn. And it's all, of course, project-based learning and discover that they have this talent. And so for all those kids that aren't good at sitting still, well, this is for you. And it's just, it's very rewarding to spend our time thinking about how can we help kids develop. And the last thing I'll share, Bonnie, is due to a lot of reasons, but during COVID, the Carpenters Union had a problem. They wanted to help the thousands of students who are using their curriculum continue to learn. But of course, nobody was meeting in person. So they approached us and asked if we could help convert some of their shop class projects, like a garden shed that would be 12 feet tall or a sawhorse that would be 4 feet long, and make them accessible to students at home. So we basically took those projects and made them scale model size. So now the sawhorse is 6 inches long. The garden shed is 12 inches high, and it uses scale model lumber. And doing that project taught us that we could reach kids anywhere, and it was wonderful. And so again, thousands of kids all over the country were able to continue their studies remotely. After COVID, again, with this relationship, we took some of the Carpenters Union projects and the full-size ones this time. So the full-size tool tote that's 24 inches long, the birdhouse, the step stool, the bookcase. But we adapted them to work with our hand tool setup. And again, as a result, help more kids access this kind of learning. And it's been so much fun because there's a program in Pennsylvania. It's a cyber charter school. And they have 40 kids learning woodworking remotely. Can you believe it? Remote education woodworking.
That's awesome.
And it just shows that anything is possible. So we really are grateful that not only can we help kids develop this intelligence in their hands, but now we can create a pathway, create this access to opportunity, because there's an enormous number of skilled trade jobs that are open. And I think the statistic is that by 2028, a third of skilled labor jobs will be unfilled.
Wow.
Because of people retiring. Because as a society, we did not focus on training youth to work with their hands. It was no child left behind. Everyone goes to college. Now we got $1 trillion in student debt. We've got an enormous hole in our future GDP because there's nobody to do the jobs. So we're just trying to connect all these kids that don't know where they fit because they're not good at, you know, sitting still and doing worksheets, and the ones who are, with all these opportunities that they just don't know about yet. So that's
right.
That's kind of what we're all about.
Well, and you know, we're slowly getting into that era where our youth did not have the chance to come up without social media and without texting and Instagram and all of that. And I find that we learned how to do things in isolation and on our own a lot more before all of that. And then now we have all of the doors open and you can figure out how to do all of these things so instantly, but yet we just watch. We don't always put it into action. So I'm so glad that you have this organization. For one, I will tell you, because many of our CTE programs are so busy and everybody, they are everybody's best friend at wherever they are, whatever high school, whatever junior high, middle school that they're located, and everybody wants them for a partner or for a project. And so it's difficult for others, you know, to share them. So having your little organization that can partner or teach and create more know-how with teachers is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, thank you. You know, you had a really interesting point there around the isolation and how we're just used to watching things. And yeah. There's such a difference. You know, I'm not going to try the old saying about, you know, show me, or, you know, versus, you know, I do it, you know, and it might be a Ben Franklin quote, but the retention is so much higher. And just the act of, I mean, we kids have not been exposed to how to use tools. They, and so there's like three or four things coming together. One, coming out of COVID, this incredible isolation. And so the act of working together in a room with other people is incredibly restorative. Working together, having empathy for others. One of our rules, if you will, is that, you know, I mentioned we're community, help others and ask for help. So the way our program, when it's set up, think of a rectangular table, 30 inches wide, 5 or 6 feet long, and there'd be four students working at that table. One of those students is going to be faster than the others. So instead of, and that student may, you know, frequently be the one who would horse around and is used to getting negative attention. So instead, and I'm sure, you know, the listeners, you do this all the time, but in this case, same drill is empower that student, make them the table ambassador, and they're not done until everyone at their table is done. And so now they're looking out for the others. They're getting positive attention for having a skill they didn't know they had. And it's been beautiful to see. So the working together, the empathy, the helping them, you know, develop their EQ as well as their IQ, again, while doing things with no screens. And don't get me wrong, I spent my whole career, I didn't mention this, but my career from 1994 until 2015 was all in digital marketing. I was an internet pioneer. And now I joke that I'm paying penance and I've gone a completely, you know, low tech route. But we have an LMS, every lesson plan has been filmed and is a PDF. And so the way we relay it to teachers is very familiar. And the teachers can choose to show our videos in class or just do it themselves. But the kids, the sawdust that they're creating, the smell of the pine.
I love that smell.
Right. And, you know, you think about if you took shop class in junior high, and listeners, as you think back, I bet you can remember, you can see the face of that teacher. You can remember how they scared you to death with something, trying to teach you safety. And you remember what you made. And odds are you still have what you made. And so thinking about those lasting reminders of your success, and now we have a chance to do that again, where kids struggle and I've seen kids cry, and then they persevere and they succeed. And it's just beautiful because they're so proud of what they've done. And so that's our chance to help this next generation have those positive lasting reminders of their struggle and success. So we love that we can help connect a cure for isolation, a way to remedy to some extent the loss of social skill building due to COVID, and the ability to do it, you know, to be confident in one's ability to solve problems, physical problems, which ultimately can help with the environment. You know, if you can fix things, you don't need to buy a new one. And
exactly.
So there's a lot of, it's just fascinating all the different benefits that are not obvious at first glance. Isn't that funny? You never think about shop class as a way to help the environment, but it can be.
Yes. And it really, there are so many scientific and engineering and mathematical and even linguistic elements that come to life, but especially math, because I get so tired of seeing that, let's see, what do you call it? Math, I love doing application, but when it comes to doing a problem, I want my calculator and I want to get it done quickly, you know, but there are all of those worksheets with those rectangular prisms stacked all over each other. And you have to figure out the volume of the entire thing, or, you know, it's missing one dimension and you have to find the missing dimension, whatever. But when you start putting boards together, you're essentially making those little weird shapes. And when you have to figure out what size screw you need to keep those boards together, but yet not go all the way through the board,
mm-hmm.
and they're in a fraction mixed number. Hello, elementary teachers, fifth grade teachers. It is the pain in your side when it comes to teaching it in the classroom, and the kids like, oh my gosh, this is so hard, you know, because we're dividing, we're doing fractions, and we're taking it 5 and 6 steps further, you know, and they want to give up. But just ask them to figure out what screw that they need to put these two boards together without the screw coming out the other end, and you've done it. That's all of those worksheets right there.
Right.
And they get it and they're going, oh, okay, this makes sense. There's no other better way to apply this kind of math. Like, literally go to the wood screw section. I mean, I say wood screw because, you know, we're talking woodworking, but go to the wood screw section in the department store, just go buy a couple of boxes. You've got mixed numbers all day long, and then you have to add together your fractions to figure out, you know, which mixed number, mixed screw you need. So, I mean, it's perfect. It's really perfect.
You're right. It's the cure for why do I need to know this, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's
yes.
Always...
I still don't know why I need to know functions and right. Other than, I mean, you know, spreadsheets. I get that. But some of that crazy stuff, I still don't know why
it's
I need
true.
To know it. But
you know, we include a compass in the tool chest. And there's one project, it's a passive speaker and it's hexagonal. And to start, one draws a circle and then steps across the circumference of the circle and creates the six sides. And that alone, I haven't done geometry since I was a kid. And so yeah. I created this project a few years ago. It blew my mind, like that nature works in patterns and hexagons, and triangles and isosceles. We have another project where it's a icosahedron. I think it's a 20-sided.
That's what I was saying. I don't know. I can't remember all the names and the shapes because I just know you keep going up the hedron and
right,
all the,
right. Know? But it's so cool to see geometry played out in real life. It's tangible. You can
yes.
you can feel it and you can build these shapes and you're right. And then the reading, you know, how to follow an order of operations becomes very important to read those steps carefully. I find it's very helpful with self-regulation and having these pauses that are built in, like comparing one's measurements on a board to a neighbor's and then to a template that's passed around the classroom. It really connects the dots. And you're right about the unit measurement. Boy, we see
yeah.
every day with the tape measure. It's incredible. And it's tough. We kids really struggle with it, but here it is. It's very tangible. And you can feel, you know, with your hands if something's wrong.
Right.
So it's just been really, really rewarding.
You know, and going back to your first career path, all of this troubleshooting that you probably, mm-hmm. you know, ran through with woodworking gave you perseverance for troubleshooting with computer science. You know, I didn't hear you say that you had to write a lot of code or any of that kind of stuff, but you're doing social media is what I heard, but I'm sure you had to get into some of that. And even when you set up an ad, you know, when something isn't working right or it's not taking, you have to go backwards into all the steps that you've done. So that's exactly what you would be doing when you get to step 147 and it's not working. The door won't shut.
Exactly. Exactly. You're spot on. I grew up fixing bicycles. That was my medium. It was all about bikes and understanding why mechanically something would work or why it wouldn't work and why the wheel would wobble. And you're right, at a deep conceptual level, that problem solving, that perseverance translates. And now even with business. And so, yes. you know, someone told me, if you think about what we're trying to train our kids to do, we can think of the jobs that will exist 5 years from now, but it's very hard to think about jobs that will exist 30 years from now. And so how do we train kids to be successful in life and have a career that won't be replaced by a computer? And you can argue that there's trade jobs are very hard to replace, but unfortunately there's efficiencies and prefab homes, et cetera. But at the same time, I think the deepest value we can help our students with is what you're talking about, those problem-solving skills. It's not about what you know, it's about how you learn and how do you figure out what you don't know and how do you have the confidence to say, I can figure that out. I have no idea, but someone, it's knowable. I just don't know it yet. And that it's a beautiful thing because it means
yes.
everything's possible.
I mean, grasping that concept that I can do this one thing that I've seen someone else do, and knowing that you can do it, but understanding what it will take is awesome, especially when you decide that's what I'm going to do and you set out to do it. So
exactly. And as teachers, you know, for those who've been doing the same lesson plans for some years, right, we get comfortable, we get stuck in our ways. And suddenly it's that I know this we're not always challenged to, and we don't always want to be because there's a lot going on, but sometimes it's nice to have that variety. The feedback we get frequently from teachers when we train is that they forgot what it was like to be a student. They forgot what it was like to have to learn a new competency. And they liked that they could learn this new skill in a low stress way, in a environment where failure is about not failing, but it's about learning. It's about, well, that didn't work out. What can I do differently? And it's just nice that for teachers that we're all learning, we're all growing, we're all evolving. And when we, model that for our students, I think it really helps them because they realize, oh, you don't stop learning when you're grown up. You know,
right, here's this, right.
You're always learning. And that's the blessing, is be a lifelong learner and you're always curious and you're always growing. And then you combine it with having a sort of physical, large muscle activity. And now you've got kind of the perfect formula, because we have one school that kids are choosing woodworking over recess.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they should be given that option, really, because, you know, when I was younger, my favorite thing was, I mean, I liked to get outside, but it was not always to get outside. Like, I just enjoyed doing puzzles and things like that, and we didn't always get a chance to do it. So it's great to have that option. I want to piggyback onto that real quickly, because if you go to maplewoodshop.com, you can see all the ways that Maplewoodshop might benefit your school. So you can find them doing programs with teachers in schools and at home and in a camp style. But how can a teacher or an administrator wanting to have their teachers learn from Maplewoodshop, what do they do to get started? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And thank you. So the administrator or the teacher, there's a contact us on the page, and they can just reach out and then we can help figure out your goals and what success would look like. Is it attendance? And, you know, this is nationwide. I think, you know, the number of students who are chronically absent is skyrocketed due to COVID and after COVID. So is it, you know, are we trying to help kids with attendance, with engagement? Is the intent to get kids into the trades? Is the intent to help neurodiverse children have life skills? Or is it for STEAM itself? And so based on all those goals, we can help take the program and adjust it to those needs. And then we've figured out how to do training over Zoom, so that we're based in New Jersey, but we've got programs running in every corner of the country. And so it's very, we try to make it easy. Our goal is to remove every obstacle so that you can have a successful program for years and years.
Awesome. Really, really awesome. I'm going to sort of start trying to wrap it up, but I'm going to ask you one more question. And then after that, we'll talk about where we can find more about Maplewoodshop. And then we'll play the game from the iHeart STEAM Teacher Podcast.
All right.
Okay. So tell us, what are you most excited about right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I think what we're most excited about right now is that we've had a lot of interest from 21st Century Community Learning Center grants. And so we're spinning up several programs in Ohio and some more here in New Jersey. And so we're really excited about the after-school opportunity of helping kids deal with learning loss and build all the skills we've talked about.
Yes. And teachers, if you're listening, administrators, directors of programs, this can replace, this ultimately and absolutely can replace whatever programs you have, you're using right now. Not for good, but it can take the place of for an amount of time. It may be that you want to totally replace it, but that's completely up to you. It can replace, though. It does not have to have something else accompanying it when you are working with woodworking projects at all. Would you agree?
I agree. And we always say we play nice with others. So if you've got a multi-purpose room, and you know, one period it's Lego robotics and another period is woodworking, the sawdust that is created is so big because it's hand tools, it just drops to the floor. Mm-hmm. More like breadcrumbs versus
super fun. Those are the perfect elements for photos, all of you Instagram teachers.
Oh, yeah.
And super. You know, those big, huge wood shavings in the perfect curl. They just look, they're great table decorations.
You can do your
face fillers,
AMSR videos, you know, the yeah. sound. It's beautiful stuff. It takes you back. Thank you.
Well, tell us all the places besides maplewoodshop.com that we can find you. What is the best line of communication to get a hold of someone at Maplewood Shop? And who might we get? Are we going to get Mike, or who would be the person that would be our first contact?
Sure. Well, so we're on Instagram, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and generally Maplewood Shop NJ, sometimes at Maplewood Shop. But you'll know if it's us, a lot of orange and a lot of woodworking.
And I will post it in the show notes.
Oh, thank you. And then if you want to reach out, we actually have a 1-800 number. It's 1-844-WOODSHIP, WOODSHP, because why not? And you might get me, you might get Ginny, you might get Lindsay, but we're all here, ready, and eager to help.
Awesome. Well, without further ado again, are you ready to play your very own personalized game?
Yes, ma'am.
So far, I have been able to create a game for every guest I've ever had so far.
Okay.
Haven't had to do a repeat yet, but today we're going to be playing all about Mike's favorites. And everything is going to be related to woodworking, around woodworking and the art form, that kind of thing. It's super easy. Like, the very first question is stain or paint with an explanation. Super easy. No Ooh. Sweat.
I'm going to go with stain because I love seeing the wood grain. Love seeing the patterns.
Totally agree. My house has so much wood that's stained, like my ceiling. We had to stain them all before we put them up because the whole ceiling's wood. So yeah, I remember doing that. One of the many things I did when I was young and dumb.
We love shellac because it's food safe.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you clean up with water and it still creates a nice, and you could get some where they're tinted and they're just beautiful.
Well, I had to do my research. You know, I know a little tiny small bit about woodworking, and I do own my own tool set and power drill, but I still had to do my research. And I love antique and estate sales, that kind of thing. And through that, I've learned a little bit about wood joints. So what's your favorite wood joint?
Ooh.
And could you explain it to the listeners?
Well, I guess my favorite wood joint is the one that doesn't break, but you're looking for a specific one. There's something called a half lap joint, and it's okay. The idea of if you took two pieces of wood and you joined them, they're perpendicular, and you cut half away from one side and half away from the other side.
and they sit on top of each.
Exactly. And now picture if those were, it was like a, where they're crossing, not necessarily at the edge, but in the middle of the boards. And it's a real fun exercise to try and get it so that you can't see any gaps. And now after
with two pieces of wood, that working,
I finally made one that I'm proud of. So that's probably my favorite right now.
Nice. Okay. What about, and I know this is going to be hard because, so if you have to do more than one, I understand, but
okay.
What's your favorite cannot live without tool in your tool bag?
Ooh. Well, I think, besides curiosity, I think my favorite tool is a block plane. So back in 2004, we bought our first house, still there, and couldn't afford a lot of repairs. So I, with this attitude, I thought, okay, I'll try and fix this, a little electrical, a little plumbing, a little woodworking. And I was making a stair to replace one that was broken. And I bought a really cheap plane at Home Depot. And there was something about
that. Can you tell the listeners what a plane is?
Yeah, a plane is a sharp blade set into a metal, generally a metal body, and it makes things planar, like in the geometric sense. It makes things flat. And you use it to shave down wood. You can use it to round over corners. And it's incredibly effective. You can use it to smooth a board. And there's a whole, there's dozens and dozens of kinds of planes. But this cheap Buck Brothers one, there was something about that motion of sliding over the wood, hearing these oak shavings lift up, feeling it, and keeping it perfectly parallel to the shape I wanted to create. It was meditative. It was a beautiful experience. And that's what actually got me into woodworking. I didn't actually learn woodworking growing up. I was fixing bikes. My school didn't have it. And so I learned it all as an adult. And so the plane was the tool that got me into it. It's the tool I turned to even before I turned to sandpaper, because it's severing the fibers. And so the finish you get when you have a sharp blade is smoother. It's like glass. It's smoother than anything you can get with sandpaper. So that's truly my favorite. The other one, and thank you for the option of many, we use a saw called a Ryoba saw. It's a Japanese saw that's been perfected over hundreds of years. And it's got two different sets of teeth, one set for cutting across the wood, another set for cutting along the wood or rip cutting. And what I like about these saws is that they cut on the pull stroke as opposed to Western saws. And as a result, they're thinner. The blade is thinner. They're quite durable. They require a lot less effort. And the effort they do require uses back muscles, which are stronger than, chest muscles. And so for kids, we found it to be a really effective way to learn how to saw. And they're so compact that I think they're becoming more and more popular. I'm starting to see even Harbor Freight has a version of the saw now. So that's those two tools. It's that, those two and a hammer and something to measure distance. And it is amazing what you can do.
I'm going to put in a little plug for our NGSS science standards in all the states that teach science standards in elementary school. You heard him say it cuts on the pull stroke. So what's the opposite of the pull stroke, Mike?
The push stroke, I guess.
Yes, it is. It's the push stroke. And when we learn about force of motion, push and pull are the words that we have to learn in the NGSS standards every set of standards. So push and pull is what we learn on mechanical energy force. So
that's fantastic.
It's cool that you said, I heard you say the pull stroke and I said, I bet the other one is a push stroke.
It is. And to your point, simple machines is a perfect use of woodworking. It is
absolutely
incredible. Everything is a lever. Everything is a lever or a wedge or an axle. And I'm so impressed with, again, taking, what can be theoretical science and make it very practical.
Oh, yeah.
These are great questions.
Awesome. I've got two more.
Okay.
What is your favorite all-time build by Mike?
Well, that I'm proud of this workbench that I invented because it enables this portable program.
Is that the big one on the wheels, or is it the little small one that fits over the desk? I saw both.
Yeah, it's the little one. The tool chest is quite nice also, and it's a teacher's dream because everything is labeled and has a place to live, right? But in terms of little things that I've made, we have a table. Our kitchen table is a slab of mahogany with two live edges. So it's 40 inches wide, maybe an inch and a half thick, and it is just a beautiful organic piece to sit at every day and think. So I'm sitting at another slab table in our office that's made out of an oak tree that fell across our road. And
I love pieces from those single pieces of wood.
Right? Just being connected with nature, even with our kind of screen world, is it keeps me grounded. So yeah, probably that tabletop. Is the other thing that I made.
Nice. What, and the final question, favorite piece by someone else?
Ooh, you know, well, now I've got this sort of mindset, but, and so I'll run with it, is that the reason I like these slab tables is due to an American woodworker called George Nakashima. And he had an incredible life, was born, I think, in Seattle, spent time in an internment camp here in the U.S. because he was Japanese-American, worked in India, worked in Japan, and after the Second World War, had was an architect. And he was had a friend who let him live on their farm in Pennsylvania. And so George would take logs that were quote unquote defective. They had voids, they had irregularities. And he designed some of those beautiful pieces from them. And so he has been a huge inspiration. And it was this, I think the book about him is called The Soul of a Tree. And I'm like getting choked up here because it's just so powerful to think about what a tree has seen and endured. And like us, is perfect and imperfect. And so all the things that make us unique, trees are the same. And so when you can have that soul of a tree visible with all its beauty and irregularity, and something that you can touch and hold and use as part of your daily life is an amazing thing. So he, I think, has been the most inspiring woodworker. And now, you know, slab furniture is quite popular. But back in the 1950s, it sure wasn't. So he really invented that method of appreciating nature for nature's sake.
Yes. And I think that's a real testimony to what your mission is with teachers and with students, you know, to be like the wood slab or the tree slab, you know, all the things that make you beautiful and all the things that you think make you ugly, make you beautiful. And everybody has a unique story to tell. And it's important that you figure out how to highlight the best parts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
I've enjoyed you being on the show today, and I can't wait to tell others about your program and things that you offer, because it is certainly a need, especially with STEAM, but it's a need in general. So again, Mike, thank you for being with us today.
Bonnie, thank you so much for everything you do, and really enjoyed this time as well.
Perfect. Well, listeners, as always, I will put everything from today's episode in the show notes, and you most certainly are welcome to get over to iHeartSTEAM.com, where you can get on the wait list for STEAM University And finally, I will ask you that one question. Do you iHeart STEAM too?